Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a dark, evolving jungle pad from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're mixing it so it actually works in a real drum and bass arrangement. This is not about making some huge washed-out preset that sounds good in solo and falls apart the second the break and bass come in. We are aiming for a pad that does a few jobs at once. It needs to hold harmony, create atmosphere, and help glue the track together without stealing space from the kick, snare, sub, or reese. Think of it like jungle fog. It should be moving, emotional, and wide enough to feel expensive, but it should never get in the way of the drums doing their job. So let's start with a clean MIDI track and load up Waveeatable. You could use analog too, but Waveeatable is perfect here because it gives us tight control over tone and movement while staying inside Ableton stock tools. Before touching sound design, decide what role the pad is playing. In drum and bass, a pad is usually not the main event. It's the harmonic bed, the motion layer, and the spatial glue. If it tries to be a lead, a chord stack, and a texture all at once, the mix gets vague really fast. Now write a simple chord progression in a minor or modal key. Something like I to B Roman 7 to BVI works great, or I to VI to Roman 7 if you want that darker, more cinematic movement. Keep the voicings mid-range. You want the harmony to live above the sub, not compete with it. A good rule here is, if the bass line is active in the low register, don't park the pad roots down there too. Push the chords up into a safer range and use inversions if needed. That way the bass can stay focused while the pad adds mood instead of mud. Now for the synth tone. On oscillator 1, choose a saw wave or a smooth Waveeatable with some harmonic content. On oscillator 2, add a triangle or another slightly detuned saw. Keep the detune subtle. We're not chasing super saw trance width here. In DNB, too much detune can smear the center and make the groove feel soft. If you use unison, keep it controlled. 2 to 4 voices is usually enough. That gives you width without making the patch unstable. Next, shape the filter. A low pass 24 dB works well if you want the pad darker and more focused. A low pass 12 dB is a bit more open and can feel airier. Start with the cutoff somewhere around the low mid area and listen in context, not just in solo. The goal is movement and mood, not brightness. A little resonance can help the pad feel more emotional, but don't overdo it. Too much resonance and the pad starts whistling instead of supporting the track. A little drive in the filter is also useful if you want a touch of edge. Now shape the amplitude envelope. Give it a slower attack, maybe around 40 to 120 milliseconds, so the pad blooms behind the drums instead of poking through them. Set a long decay and a fairly high sustain so it stays smooth, and give it a release long enough to tail off naturally between chord changes. This is one of those key DNB ideas. The pad should breathe behind the transient heavy break. If the attack is too fast, it starts fighting the snare and kick. If the envelope is too sharp, it stops sounding like atmosphere and starts sounding like a synth stab. And some slow modulation too. LFO into Waveeatable position or filter cutoff is perfect. Keep the rate slow, like half note, one bar, or even slower. The drums are already moving fast, so the pad should move in longer phrases. That contrast is what creates depth. Now let's talk about voicing, because this is where a lot of people go wrong. The chord choices matter, but the actual note placement matters just as much. Spread the voicing over 1.5 to 2 octaves if you want width, but don't just fill every available note. Leave some space. In darker jungle and roller tracks, missing thirds or suspended voicings can sound amazing, because they create tension without being too obvious. A little ambiguity can be more powerful than a full, polished chord. Now that the synth is sounding musical, let's make it feel like it belongs in the mix. This is where we start treating the pad as a studio element, not just a sound. After Waveeatable, add EQ 8. First job, clear out the low end. High pass it enough so it doesn't crowd the sub. Usually somewhere in the 120 to 250 Hz range is a good start, depending on how dense the arrangement is. Then listen for low mid buildup around 250 to 500 Hz. If the pad is clouding the mix, make a gentle cut there. That low mid area is a major danger zone in drum and bass. It's where break body, bass harmonics, and pad mud all like to pile up. So instead of just turning the pad down, carve it intelligently. Next, add saturator. A little drive goes a long way. We're not trying to distort it into a bass sound. We just want to introduce a bit of harmonic dirt so it feels less sterile. If it gets too sharp, back off and use soft clip if needed. Then add some movement and width with chorus ensemble or phaser flanger. Keep it subtle. A little widening in the upper content is great, but if you make the stereo effect too heavy, the pad can turn into phase soup. And in DNB, a facey pad can make the center feel weak very fast. If you want a gritter jungle character, try Redux or Roar. Again, don't overdo it. A little downsampling or distortion can make the pad feel more aged and more underground. Think texture, not punishment. Then use utility to check your width. You can open the stereo image a bit, but be careful. Keep the low end effectively mono, and let the width happen in the upper mids and highs. That's a much safer move in a track, where the center is already occupied by kick, snare, and sub. At this point, check the sound in mono. This is essential. If the pad collapses badly, reduce chorus depth, lower unison voices, or back off the widening. A pad that sounds giant in stereo but disappears in mono is not an advanced pad. It's just a risky one. Now let's make it evolve over time. A static pad can flatten tension, especially in an intro or breakdown. We want the section to feel like it's going somewhere. Automate the filter cutoff so it slowly opens over 8 or 16 bars. Automate the reverb send so it swells in transition moments and pulls back when the drop lands. And automate wave eatable position or modulation depth so the tone changes subtly over time. If you want an extra layer of motion, add auto filter after the synth chain. Use it as a performance tool. Start darker, then slowly open it up. That gives you a clean and controllable way to shape the energy curve of the arrangement. This is especially powerful in a jungle intro. You can start with the pad narrow, dark, and distant, then gradually widen and brighten it so the section feels like it's waking up. That little narrative arc makes the track feel intentional. Now let's create depth with reverb and delay, but in a mix-minded way. Use hybrid reverb or standard reverb, and keep the low end of the reverb under control. Pre-delay is important here, because it separates the wet tail from the source and keeps the pad from smearing the drums. You usually want a decent pre-delay, a moderate decay, and low cut inside the reverb so the bottom stays clean. If the track is busy, use a send return instead of inserting huge reverb directly on the track. That gives you much better control. For a bit of extra movement, add echo lightly. Short rhythmic delays can make the pad feel deeper and more alive, but filter them hard so they don't fight the bass line. Now let's shape the groove. In drum and bass, the pad should breathe with the drums. If it sits there too statically, it can flatten the whole feel. Use sidechain compression from the kick or drum bus. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to make the pad pump like a house track. You just want a little space so the kick and snare can hit cleanly. A few dB of gain reduction is often enough. If you want a more deliberate rhythmic shape, you can also automate the volume or use a shaper to create dips around the snare pattern or fill moments. That's especially effective in jungle and amen-based arrangements, where the drum phrasing is busy and syncopated. Now let's place the pad in the arrangement the right way. In the intro, let it be filtered, wide, and atmospheric. It should set the key and mood without giving away the whole track too early. In the breakdown, open it up more. Let the harmony breathe. Maybe expose a few more chord tones or let the reverb tails bloom a bit longer. In the drop, tuck it back in. Make it darker, narrower, and more sidechained. The pad should support the energy, not compete with it. And if you want to be really smart with the arrangement, pull the pad out briefly before a major transition. That absence can make the next section hit harder than adding more layers ever would. One advanced move here is to think in two versions of the pad. One for intro and one for drop support. The intro version can be wider, cleaner, and more open. The drop version can be tighter, dirtier, and more mid-focused. Sometimes automation alone can handle that, but sometimes separate versions are even better. That's a very pro way to work. Also, don't trust solo tone too much. A pad that sounds slightly dull on its own can be perfect once the break, bass, and FX are running. In fact, that's often what you want. Pads lie in solo. Context tells the truth. Now some common mistakes to avoid. Don't make it too bright. A bright pad can steal attention from the snare and make the top end feel crowded. Don't let it fight the sub and bass. High pass it properly and keep the voicing out of the wrong register. Don't over-widen it. Huge stereo width sounds impressive until mono check time. Don't leave it static. Even slow pads need motion in DNB. And don't drown the drums in reverb. Reverb should feel like distance, not a blanket over the whole mix. If the pad feels generic, don't immediately pile on more effects. First, reduce predictability. Slight tuning drift, subtle asymmetry in the voicing, and uneven filter movement can make a patch feel much more alive and less preset-like. Here's a useful coach tip. Check the pad at low monitoring levels. If the harmonic movement still reads quietly, that's usually a strong sign it's doing its job well. If it only feels exciting when loud, it may be too dependent on sheer size rather than actual musical function. For a darker, heavier D&B vibe. Try minor ninths, suspended chords, or a missing third that creates tension without sounding obviously unresolved. You can also layer a very quiet noise texture above the pad, high-passed hard, just to add air and age. If you want more grime, duplicate the pad and make a parallel dirty version. Hit that second copy with headier saturation, pitch reduction, or rough EQ shaping, then blend it quietly underneath the clean pad. That gives you attitude without destroying clarity. You can also resample the pad to audio and get more creative. Reverse a few tails, stretch a fragment, or freeze a reverb moment if you want a more cinematic jungle texture. Once it's audio, you can treat it like material instead of just a synth patch.